You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans. Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews, battling through a litany of technical issues with both computer and headset, but I'm here. I survived that opening day that we all saw together. I hope we saw it together. If not, let me just give you a quick recap. Nothing happened for a long time, and then the Blue Jays lost. Shock. I know. We're going to talk about it in the first half, and then in the second half, we're going to get to some predictions from you, the fans, as Fan Friday returns after a long hiatus during the winter. Fan Friday is back, so we're going to have some of your predictions in the second half. But yeah, let's start with what that was yesterday. It wasn't a sellout, first of all. 45,000 in the Sky Dome / Rogers Center. It's the lowest opening day crowd they've had since 2001, which, not surprising, given that people knew this wasn't going to be a season that was going to jump off the pages, at least standings-wise. So what was that yesterday? Well, let's go over the good, first of all. Marcus Stroman looked very good in his first start of 2018. Pitched 7 shutout innings. It was a little wild. He had 4 walks, so not stellar from that regard, but still a very good performance. 7 strikeouts. He only gave up the 2 hits. So what Stroman was able to do is really control what he did with the ball when he needed to. He got bailed out by his defense. We talked about it yesterday because we recorded during the game yesterday. But he got bailed out by his defense when he needed to. He got Danny Jansen to make a great throw to second base to catch Nico Goodrum, who was trying to steal. So very positive from him. And then the 2 relievers, the high leverage relievers for the Blue Jays right now, with Ryan Tepera on the shelf, Joe Biagini and Ken Giles, when Biagini is not being stunned by trades in a Shoppers Drug Mart by Brandon Panikkar, who, you know, done a podcast with him before on South of the Six. So, you know, I'd say he's a little more than a fan, but whatever. The media runs with it however it does. So Joe Biagini and Ken Giles both went out there, had great control of the strike zone, were able to put pitches where they wanted, and just overpowered that Detroit lineup. So if they actually got a hit, if they actually got a run, that gives a little faith that the pitching staff might be better than it seems with these veteran guys in there, and that maybe they can steal a win. Maybe they can steal a 1-0 or a 2-1 win more often than not. So that gives you a little faith going forward that the pitching is not going to be the hindrance to this team that it has been in the past. Now, let's talk about the negative. We'll briefly get Daniel Hudson out of the way because he was the losing pitcher. He gave up that 2-run home run to Kristen Stewart, who apparently has taken time off from, you know, battling vampires or looking pouty, battling Snow White. What else has Kristen Stewart done? I can't remember. Anyway, Hudson looked like the pitcher he was with the Angels in spring training, which is, say, not good. The 2 pitches he got whacked on were both right down the middle of the plate. Goodrum's double, very hot shot to Grichuk. Like again, he was working him so well on the corners of the plate, and then he just grooved one right down the middle that Goodrum whacked. Same with Stewart. Started working outside, but second he came over the plate, it was gone. So that's disheartening, and you don't want to see that from a guy who's supposed to, you know, be kind of a middle tier reliever on this club. We can chalk it up to, you know, just getting into Toronto or whatever, but if he's going to last past April, which, I mean, when Ryan Tepera comes back, someone's going to have to go down. Could be Thomas Pannone, could be Javi Guerra, whoever. But Hudson did not build a strong case for him, and he's only on a one-year deal, and you just saw the Blue Jays eat $10 million to send Kendrys Morales out of town, so don't think they won't do that to, you know, cut Daniel Hudson out of here if they feel he's not doing what he needs to do for this team. So we'll see if he can do a little better, but his struggles were overshadowed by the fact that he was necessary in the first place in the 10th inning, because that Blue Jays offense was terrible. Absolutely no excuse for what they did in that game. How do you let Jordan Zimmermann shut you down for 7 innings on 70 pitches? You cannot allow a guy to average 10 pitches an inning and expect to have any kind of success in this league. You cannot just go out there just hacking at pretty much anything. He threw more sliders than he did fastballs in that game, and that's because he got ahead of these over-anxious Blue Jays hitters and just made them look silly. Like, it wasn't even a contest. So I don't really know how that gets fixed. The two Blue Jays that did get hits in that game were not unexpected. Brandon Drury had a good spring. Teoscar Hernandez had a good spring. They made some contact. It's good to see that continue a little bit, but the rest of the team was just up there and just swinging at everything and not being able to do with it, just popping everything in foul territory. Just, it was sad trying to watch that and just being like, can you do anything to get a hit? Can you do anything to generate movement on the base paths and outside of a couple singles? No, was the answer to that. They couldn't do a dang thing. So we'll see what happens in tonight's game. They face Matt Boyd. Matt Shoemaker is going to be on the mound opposing him. I don't see 7 shutout innings from Matt Shoemaker. So if they want to win tonight, the Blue Jays offense had better find something against a lefty who is known to the organization. And they should be able to, you know, actually, let's just get hits. Let's start there. Let's make good contact on the ball. Let's make Matt Boyd pitch to you. Do not just go fishing immediately on whatever he's going to throw at you. Make the pitcher work. Get them up in the pitch count. I know Rob Manfred's going to hate it because it'll make the games go longer, but that's what you have to do against pitchers like this, is make them work, make them throw, and that's when you get the mistake pitches that you can go all out on and just whack into the outfield for extra base hits. So that is what I'll be looking for tonight. And let me get my Bill Simmons voice on here. Boston, Boston, Boston. Hey, if you need something for tonight in the bedroom, then you should try Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a chewable tablet that can really give you that edge when you need it the most in the bedroom. So it's made by the same ingredients as those other famous pills, but it's a chewable tablet that comes right to your door. You don't need to go to the pharmacy. You don't need to go stand around and ask your doctor the uncomfortable questions, and it'll give you what you need in the bedroom. Trust me, because I'm totally doing that Bill Simmons voice. Yeah. So, it's made in the USA, and if you go to bluechew.com, that's blue like in Blue Jays, and you enter the promo code MLB, you get your first shipment of chewable pills for free. You just pay $5 in shipping. So what are you waiting for? It's not costing you anything to try it. Just go out there and try BlueChew.com today. That's BlueChew.com. It's better, it's cheaper, it's faster, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so I said we're going to get into fan predictions. We are going to do just that. So I asked the Blue Jays fans on Twitter, one prediction you believe is going to come true no matter what the season, could be anything. And y'all responded because you all are awesome like that. So I'm going to start with an anonymous source who kind of betrays that by saying at Miles Higgins is their handle. But Pilar or McKinney will be traded within the next 2 weeks. Anthony Alford will move up from AAA. Now, this makes sense given that it was thought that Alford was going to be promoted to the 25-man roster for opening day. But I think it's going to be more difficult for them to move Pilar in April. I think they would wait until, you know, June, July when Pilar has, you know, his hot streak and starts to look a little better. So I don't see it within the next 2 weeks, barring some weird trade. But I Anthony Alford will be up with the club at some point. Sean McIntyre at Sean McIntyre 403. Jays will finish second in the AL East. Not if they average 2 hits a game, but I love the optimism there, Sean. This is countered by the optimism of friend of the show, Matt Parkinson at Cinemartyr. The Blue Jays will win at least one game. I can't really argue with that. I mean, the worst team in Major League Baseball history, the 1899 Cleveland Spiders, they won 20, so it's got to happen at some point. Another friend of the show and Jays from the Couch writer, Karen Suter at Karen Suter 1. Justin Smoke will be traded for a decent return. Grichuk will have a very strong season, not be traded, and possibly sign a contract extension. So Karen doubled up, but she's a friend, so we allow that. I agree Smoke's probably going to be traded. Last year of his deal is going to be a perfect rental for someone who needs power and defense at first base. So I think he'd be gone, then Rowdy would take over first base at that point. I actually do agree with Grichuk as well, because I think the organization really likes him. They do like what they saw post-injury last season, and I think they want to give him a shot to become that cornerstone outfielder for them, because they don't really have that in the minors. They have great infielders coming up. They don't really have outfielders who can be like, he's going to hit 30 home runs. Gavin Biggio might be the closest to that, and he's more a utility guy. So I agree with Karen on that one. Carrie at Carrie underscore A23, another star contributor. This team is going to be streaky. They're going to string together some wins followed by some losses, but they're young, developing, and happy to be here, so they're going to be fun to watch. Can't argue with that. I think you're going to see more highlights out of them than probably expected, but I do think the losing streaks are going to be a little more lengthier than the win streaks. No offense. Chris Maximuck at Mr. Mucker 88. They aren't going to be as bad as people think. They'll flirt with 500 as long as their pitching remains healthy-ish. That'll be the thing. If their pitching remains healthy. I mean, the rotation seems fine, but losing to Para early really hurts what Montoyo can do with that bullpen. So, again, fingers crossed that Matt Shoemaker can make 20 starts. Stephanie Teals at Stephanie Teals. We'll be excited for the youth and potential for 2020, and I think the Jays extend either Sanchez or Stroman or both if they start strong. Stephanie very optimistic that the young aces of the squad can be kept if they regain that ace status. I think Stroman's more likely to be extended than Sanchez, if only because Scott Boras is involved, and I know that Jays hate Scott Boras. So I do like potentially extending Stroman, especially if he pitches the way he did last night. But again, they will have to see what they can get for him in trade. So I'd like to see Sanchez return to that previous form. And I know Greg Appleton actually believes that Sanchez can be a Cy Young Award contender again this year at Greg Appleton. So I do like that given the form he had in the spring. It's why I went after Aaron Sanchez pretty hard in my fantasy drafts. I know y'all don't care, but depending on how good a start he gets off, he could easily be in that conversation. Stroman too, if he has games like that where he can cut down on the walks a little bit, I think it's very possible that he could do that. Deborah Stasiak at the Stasiak. Rowdy is going to make a big splash this year and be the unsung hero of the season. I think if he can replicate what Kendrys Morales did last year, which is about 20 home runs, and be that lefty power bat, that's going to be a big enough splash, and he will assert himself as a part of the future of this team. So I do like that. Matt Hall at Hallamaniac 07. Sean Reed Foley will be the most important Jays starter by the end of the season. It could be. I don't know. It depends on the order of operations for that team. Like, if Sean Reed Foley's in Buffalo working on his control, and if he can get his control to a spot where he can be, you know, effective with it. The spring didn't help him, but if he gets to that point where he can be harnessing that power he has and just use it as he needs to, then he could at least climb into the picture. I still don't think he's going to be as key as some of the other guys. I think Nate Pearson would honestly be more important for the Blue Jays, but there's a window, I guess. Sean Reed Foley can be most important, so we'll give that. And we are going to end it with Jason at HewittJ15, who simply says, I'm going to win the $500,000 50-50 award this weekend. Well, if you do, Jason, you know, be sure to send a little my way, just, you know, for giving you the extra boost in karma and luck and all that stuff. You know, just, I'm not asking for much, just 10,000. 10,000 be great. That would, you know, pay for me to actually go to Toronto for a little bit. So we're going to end it there. Thank you all so much for submitting your predictions for the 2019 season. Thank you, Matt, Karen, Carrie, Chris, Miles, Jason, Sean, Matt, Deborah, Greg, Stephanie. Thank you all so much for taking part. You know, you're the first class of 2019, so you get to wear that on whatever article of clothing you have. So thank you all for doing that. If you want to get involved with the podcast, as those people did, follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Jays, and follow me on Twitter at NeoAC18. It's NeoAC18. And yeah, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, you're not doing it right. So feel free to do so on Himalaya, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, however you get your podcasts. You know, listen to it at home while you're doing chores, or listen to it in the car just by telling your smart device to, hey, play Locked On Blue Jays, and it'll do it up for you. So be sure to do that. I'm going to take a well-earned weekend off, so we'll be back to talk to y'all on Monday and just see how exactly the team did against Detroit as we move on to face Baltimore. So, you know, I'd like to have a positive record after this first week, but we'll see how it goes. So for everyone here at the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Blue Jays. This has been Ryan Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. And y'all take care.